Well, we look into the Word of God. We're going to be in Luke chapter number 2. We're going to read the Christmas story. I'm just read it in just a moment. Before I do, you know, the Bible's an amazing book. It's amazing. It's a living book. But I'll be honest with you, if we don't watch it in even ourselves, and especially people that's new Christians, it kind of intimidates them. I mean, it's a 66 books. Brother McGowan, it talks about people, names that we can't pronounce, places that we've never been. Amen. And all these different things that it does. And so it can be intimidating. Well, but the Bible is really simple. It really is. It's really a simple book. One thing, it's about him. It's a hymn book. Amen. It's a book about him. It's a history book. It's about his story. That's what it's about. But I read this, the Bible in 50 words. And so, to show how simple. And it wouldn't seem possible to describe the Bible or tell us the Bible story in 50 words, but here it is. God made, Adam bit, Noah arced, Abraham split. Jacob fooled, Joseph ruled, the bush talked, and Moses ruled. Pharaoh plagued, people walked, sea divided, the tables guided. The promised land, Saul freaked, David peaked, and the prophets warned, and Jesus was finally born. What the Bible is. In simply 50 words, in 52 words, it tells you the Bible. So really, you've got a simple book. You really got a simple book. We divided it into 50 words. Did I say something wrong? Huh? Did I say is? I thought I said Jesus coming. Jesus coming. I didn't put an is in there. Y'all country folks, y'all hear things. Jesus coming. Okay. Fifty-two. Jesus is coming, 53. But it's a simple book. The problem is we made it complex. The Bible talks about the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is so simple a child can understand it. Amen. I want to preach on Christmas. I want to preach on the three spirits of Christmas this morning. And no, I'm not talking about Charles Day. Somebody's already starting to order popcorn. I'm not talking about the Christmas carol. I'm not talking about the great Christmas spirit of the past and the spirit of the present or the spirit of yet to come. But I'm going to talk about the spirit that's in this Christmas story this morning as we read it. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let's pray, then I'll preach. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so excited this morning to be able to be in your house, be with your people, the body of Christ, on this wonderful day, your birthday. And God, we've come to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray you'll help us with simplicity see you in the scriptures this morning. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us, lead us, and guide us. Thank you for this great number being with us. Thank you for all our visitors. We got many visitors this morning. We're so thankful that they're with us. And they took their time to be with us on this very important day. And God, I pray now you'll be with us. Your presence will be here. Take your workmen, take your word, and do your will. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Can I pause for just a second and say this really happened? Amen. This is real. And the Bible says in verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which was told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So this morning we've read in your presence, many of you probably have already read it. I know we had Christmas last night and we read this Christmas story and then opened our presence. And probably many of you have done the same thing. But we look at this story and I see within this story some things that had to take place, some things that did play. Well, there's several things we could outline here. There's a sovereign God. Amen. The Bible says that it came to pass in those days and went out a decree. That decree was a sovereign act of God. God knew that would take place. There was an appointed time. God, from the day of creation, before time ever exists, God had a plan made. And God has been working out down through the ages. He's been working his plan out. Even in Adam and Eve in the fall, and we realized that God was going to cast him out of the garden. He took the coat of an animal, and that blood was shed, and they was given something where they could enter to that clothing, where they could enter into the presence of God. We know that animal that was shed was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was to come. We understand all the way down to the time that Jesus was to come. The prophets prophesied he would come, be born in Bethlehem, be born of a virgin, all the different things. And finally, there's a sovereign God bringing you and I, sinners, a Savior. Amen. And we could talk about many different things, but I want us to think about the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas. The very first thing I see here, if we look at verse number 11, it says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The very first thing about the spirit of Christmas is that you can't have Christmas without faith. So why we're gathered here about an event that happened around over 2,000 years ago, why we're gathered here this morning is because we have faith that this really happened. We have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There was something different about the birth of this child. We know easily this is not the first time a child's been born. Wasn't the first time a child was born in Bethlehem. Probably not even the first time a child was born in a stable. Probably not. And so, there may be few here. I think Jimmy Carter was the first president we ever had. That was born in a hospital. And so, we were all that time. There may be a few here that may have been born at home. But you know, there was a time when they didn't go to to hospitals, didn't have hospitals to go to. You was born at home or born wherever the Lord decided for delivery to take place. Amen. And I mean, there's stories been told of children being born in the working field and different places in old time, children being born. So I'm sure it wasn't the first time a child was born even in a stable. But all those children that may have been born in stables or born in time past, their birth has been forgotten. But there's something special about this birth. Why? Because people has took faith about this birth. This child was something different. Amen. May I say, first of all, Mary, when the angels came to her and told her that she would be the mother of God's Son, you know what it had to take? It had to take faith. She had to believe. And if there's one person, when it says she pondered these things in her heart, if there's one person that knew that she had never knew a man, it was Mary. She knew that this was, without a doubt, the Son of God. The sinless Lamb of God. We still believe that Jesus Christ was born of Mary, but he was the sinless Lamb of God, don't we? That she was a virgin, never knowing a man, and was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a lot of people that wants to name Christ, but yet they won't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. How sad that is. Why? Because they're denying their salvation. They're denying their Savior. We needed a perfect Savior. We needed a perfect sacrifice, and only one could come. It was through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Joseph, when he was told by the angels and that his wife that was expecting, that he was espoused to be his wife, that it was of God, you know what he had to have? He had to have faith. He had to have faith to believe that. Even Simeon in our stories, if we were going down to verses 25, Simeon, we realize that he even had faith that he would not die until he seen the Lord's child. He had faith in believing that. He had faith in that. And even the shepherds here now, here, no doubt this was a moment. I mean, it's a moment in their life that they would never forget. It was a scary moment. Matter of fact, they was afraid. Can you just imagine all these angels appearing? I mean, just out here in the field, and they're keeping watch over the sheep. I mean, they're looking for animals come to kill their sheep. And then here all these light, no doubt, came, and all these angels is there. And they're telling this story about Jesus. This day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you know, they could have thought, man, we ate some bad pizza last night. They could have thought a lot. They could have thought, man, this is crazy. This can't be happening. What do you mean a Savior? Now, them shepherds knew what a Savior was talking about. But they knew that there was going to be the Messiah, the Lord's child. That this is going to be the deliverer of Israel, the deliverers of the Jews. And our spirit within inside that is dead has been awakened to know that the truth that a child is being born that will be the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the anointed one, Emmanuel, God with us. But they could have just sat there. But the Bible says with haste, they said, let's go and see this thing that God has done. You know what I believe? I don't think they was going wondering if they was going to find a child. I don't think they went, well, I hope we can find it. No, they went with expectation, knowing that child would be there. They had faith. They had faith. Can I say to you, and I'm not trying to be mean and I'm not trying to be cruel, but you know, if you're here this morning and you're celebrating Christmas, but yet you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not celebrating Christmas. You're just celebrating a holiday. You're just enjoying some time off from work, some time with your family, a present you may get or a present you may give. You're just enjoying lights that people's put up and a time of people that are happy and rejoicing. But you are not a believer. Matter of fact, to celebrate Christmas without faith is almost about like being a hypocrite. Because you're celebrating the birth of a person that you don't even believe exists. A person that you've never even put your faith and your trust in. A person that's came to be the Savior of the world, and you've not even chose to make him your Savior. So Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, it has to have the element of faith. That's what makes this day real. That's what makes Christmas real. We read this story. Hey, I've got faith that this really happened. That this really has taken place. That there really was a baby. There really was a Savior. There really is a Lord. There really is. This Bible is truth. This Bible is the authoritative word of God. And God has spoke to you and I and gave us one of the greatest love story there is. For God so loved the world that he gave. How did he give? You know how he gave. I know it's elementary to us, but it needs to be spoken again through this little babe that was born in Bethlehem. The gift was given to you and I, a Savior, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They, by faith, believed these things. For unto you, look what it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Aren't you glad that you and I can have a Savior? Amen. Amen. I'm glad that he's my Savior. Amen. I'm glad that he lives within me. But you know how that happened? That happened because I had faith in Jesus. I had faith. And I know y'all have heard this 1,000 times. You just hang around and you hear it 1,000 times. But on a Sunday morning in Rose Chapel Baptist Church, and don't get upset about me telling this story all the time, because that's all Paul could do all the way through the Word of God. I mean, to be honest with you, y'all all should want to tell it about when this day happened to you. And for the very first time, Brother Ray, for the very first time, I realized that I was a sinner. I realized, see, I heard a voice from another world. It wasn't an audible voice, but something was dealing with me. As far as I know, I'd never heard this voice before. And I knew that I was lost. I became a believer. We had these signs, I believe. I became a believer. And I know, Brother Steve, I know this don't work out in all our theological thing, but probably the time I stepped out, because it's not what I said or what I did. It wasn't the words that I used to approach the Lord. And I believe in repentance just as much as you believe in repentance. But God knew the minute I stepped out what I was headed to go do. And he knew that I had realized I was a sinner and I was sorry for my sins. I didn't want to die and go to hell. And I stepped out and walked down. You know what I did? I placed my faith. Cameron, I placed my faith in that book that you hold in your hand. Because I've never seen Jesus. I've never even been to the places there in Jerusalem where people say, well, this is where he was at, or this is the things. And I've never been there. But all I knew is I'd heard this story. For a Jew was born this day in the city of David a Savior. I'd heard about a Savior. I'd heard about somebody that could save me. And see, I was a sinner. And I knew there was enmity between me and God. I mean, I was not God's friend. That wasn't I was a bad kid. I mean, how can an angelic being like me be very bad? I wasn't a bad kid. Mischief, Well, friends, don't go there. Anyway, but I was a sinner. I realized I was lost. I realized I was not saved. And so I, on that Sunday morning, experienced the spirit of Christmas. I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I did more than just hear the story like the shepherds. I did like the shepherds. I went and seen for myself. I went and seen for myself. There's testimonies I'm sitting on all these pews about how God saved old sinners. And so we're sinners. We was enemies of God. But God committed his love toward us while we was yet sinners. Christ died for us. It was Christ that loved us so much. It was Christ that came and he died to be the propitiation for us. He died that he might become sin for us. He died that he might take our sin. God made him to be sin who knew no sin. We might have the righteousness of God in him. And the reason you and I are celebrating Christmas is because there was a Calvary. So it wasn't just for how his life started. It was also how his life ended. He became sin for you and I. And as on that 50 words of the Bible, love arose. He came alive. He came out of that grave to declare us righteous, to make that we could be called justified in the eyes of God. And you and I have a Savior. You're born this day. I've looked at that this day. I wanted to preach on that this day. And it says that several times in the Word of God. This day. But is born a Savior in the city of David. This day. I wonder, are you really got the spirit of Christmas? Oh, you say, oh, yeah, preacher, we got the spirit of Christmas. I mean, you should see our lights in the front of our house. Don't go by our house, man. Never smiling. You didn't even put nothing out. And usually I do. I just didn't get to it this year. But, oh, do you have the spirit of Christmas? Oh, yeah, you should look at our Christmas tree. Look at all the presents under. We got the family. We got the ham. We got the turkey. We got all the fixing. I mean, we got pecan pie. And we got banana pudding. Oh, that's a break and go eat. We got all the different things. Well, that's not Christmas. Do you have the spirit of Christmas? Have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in a living Savior that died on a cross but yet still lives? He's alive. Amen. He's seated, the Bible said, at the right hand of the Father, wanting to do what? Make intercession for you. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Yeah. What does he mean? All come to be saved. All come to know him. All come to be a believer in him. You'll never experience Christmas. Not like Christmas is really meant to be experienced. Until you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because faith, if there hadn't been faith, there'd be no Christmas. Amen. They had to exercise faith. You can't truly enter into the spirit of Christmas without having faith that the Savior has been born. And then may I remind you, he didn't end right there, but look what he says. He is Christ, which is Christ the Lord. Can I speak to you and I that are saved? You can't really enjoy the lights and the presents and time with your family and celebrate Christmas without being saved. But you really can't do it without him being Christ the Lord. He needs to be the Lord of your life. He needs to be the one that you've bowed down before. He needs to be the one that's leading and guiding your life. Amen. He needs to be the one that you're giving yourself to. And I just want to remind all of us that are Christians this morning, if we're not giving Christ, not letting Christ lead our life and guide us, he's the Messiah, he's the Lord, and he wants to be the Lord that we follow. He wants to be our master. He wants to be our leader. He wants to be our guide. And by faith, we need to allow Jesus to lead us and to guide us this Christmas time. Not only the spirit of faith is Christmas, but also the spirit of joy. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy. Hey, God intended Christmas time to be a time of rejoicing, a time of joy. If we don't watch it, We've commercialized Christmas so much in our homes, and I'm not trying to be critical, that we've took the joy out of Christmas. We took the joy out of getting together. You know, really a gift given without love is not really much of a gift anyway. It's just a possession wrapped up in a colorful paper. But a gift given with love is much more. A gift given with love, the value of the present or the value of the gift to the people or the world means nothing, because love is priceless. Can't be a price put on it. We need to get back to giving gifts of love and not just gifts of possessions. We should enjoy Christmas. You said, how can we enjoy Christmas? Well, to get our minds off of this world and remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what Christmas is about. For you and I are going to enjoy Christmas. We are to enjoy the presence of God at Christmas time. It would be a whole lot different. And I know our homes are mixed in different things now in a lot of ways. But it happens in the McCulley's home every year. And it didn't as much this year. Daddy's getting quite a bit older and weaker. But usually when we get together to celebrate Christmas, Daddy gives us a little Christmas story. And there's a little bit of holy time at the McCulley's Christmas time. I wonder if any holy time at our time. Because really that's the only thing that's going to bring joy. Why? Because that's our hope. That's our escape, if you will, that you and I are going to leave this world one day. Oh, we don't like to think about death, I know, but hey, we like to think about heaven. And death is really just the door that opens up to get us into heaven. I've lived a while, not a long time, but God's let me experience a few things. And I've seen some elderly saints of God that lived their life out here. And I didn't understand it, Brother Freed. And I don't know, Brother Randy, why God allows this, but sometimes he allows people to linger here. And I've seen them dear saints of God, Brother Billy, that's lingered around for a while. And they got more, Brother Stringer, they've got more desires to be on the other side than they got to live here. Matter of fact, I can liken it to a young man that's got his whole life before him. As you get older, you get into different dispensations of your life. There was a time, you know, I was hoping the Lord wouldn't come back. I wanted to get married. Now I'm married and I'm hoping the Lord come. I'm in a lot of trouble. Christmas, number three to Christmas spirit is forgiveness. I got a fourth point now. But is it not true in life there was things that you wanted to do? But I've seen those saints that this life didn't matter anymore. There wasn't anything they wanted from this world anymore. There wasn't anything they wanted down here. You know what I've seen? I've seen what we call true faith and true joy. They knew that one day they was fixing to close their eyes and open up their eyes in heaven, and they're going to see their Master, their Lord, their Savior. And they didn't care about this world anymore. They just had a desire to go to their true home, their real home. This world has lost all its glamour. This world had lost almost all its pull. And their living was just to live one day, just to make it to the next day to see if that would be the day that they'd get to go home to be with heaven, be with our Lord. And I've watched them, and I've listened to them and tried to glean from them that there is dying grace. And I've seen them talk, have more of a desire to go to that world than to live in this world. And I've heard them say things like this, preacher, now I want y'all down there at the church. I don't want y'all praying for me to get better or help me. You just pray the Lord come and get me. I'm ready to go. I mean, they was anxious. They was excited. They had joy to know that one day they was leaving this world, going to the next world. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they had Jesus living in them. They had Christmas in them, Brother Brent. They had Christmas within them. And they had joy. The Bible says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. I wonder, can we really rejoice in the fact of knowing that this Christmas season, how can we have joy? Remember that, hey, the gift is about Him. Remember, He's the greatest gift of every. Remember His presence. He lives with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. And one day, when we get ready to die, He's going to take us home. We keep our focus, Brother Ricky, on Him. Keep our focus on what His purpose is for us down here on this life. If we would just glorify the Lord with our lives and glorify the Lord with our lips, I believe it would bring a lot of joy to our hearts. This Christmas season, this Christmas time, He said He's going to bring joy. He's going to bring joy. The Bible says, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Many of us has lost joy. Many things robs the joy. Sin can rob you of your joy. Self can rob you of your joy. Society can rob you of the joy. And that's what's happened in our day about Christmas. Society's robbed us. It's robbed us. You know how you get it back? You have to put that all aside and get your focus and your mind upon the real reason for Christmas. Jesus is the reason. If you want to get your joy back, it's not about how much money you can spend, not about how much stuff you can get, but it's about what's been given to you and I. Hey, we're talking about the greatest story ever known to mankind, the story that Jesus Christ has came, the Savior of the world. It's Jesus. And guess what? Brother Allen, we know him. Guess what? He lives in me. He lives with me. He walks with me and he talks with me and he guides me and he leads me. I have the greatest gift. Matter of fact, no matter what I get for Christmas this year and what I've already got or what I will get, it's nothing to compare to what I've already got. No man, no lady, no person can ever give me anything greater than what I've got, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of me. The joy to know that when I leave this world, I'll be with him forever. I'll close my eyes in darkness and open it in light that will never end, never another night. I'll close my eyes in pain and open it to a painless world. I'll close my eyes with living in a world of doubt and doom and open it to a place of no more doubt, no more doom, a place of life, eternal life. And it's all because in a little city, on this day was born in you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of him. Brother Jeff, it's nothing that I've done. It's all because of him. It's all because of Christmas. It's all because Christ came to be the Savior of the world. And lastly, the third spirit, the spirit of, we realize we have the spirit of faith and the spirit also of joy, but we need the spirit of peace. And I'm glad God, the Bible says that he can give us peace that passes all understanding. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Christmas is about the spirit of faith. It's about the spirit of joy, but it's also about the spirit of peace. There's a great desire. Matter of fact, a survey was done, what was the top 10 things? And you realize out of the top three, peace was one of the top three that people wanted. People want peace of mind. They want peace in their homes. They want peace of in the world. There's all kinds of things you think about when we think about peace. But there's only one person that can bring true, lasting peace. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you don't have peace. Now you cannot be worried about some things. You cannot be worried about money. You cannot be well off. You might not be worried about family things and family affairs and people, everything, everybody's well, different things. But you've got something that disturbs you. And that is your eternal destiny. I'm talking about peace that passes all understanding. Peace that you and I, followers of the Jesus Christ, gives us. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as a Savior, he's declared right with God. He's no longer enemy. He's no longer a castaway. He's no longer without God. He has Jesus living in him. Amen. God is placed within you and I the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. The Bible says, appointed man wants to die, and after this is the judgment. There's a peace even about death. There's a peace about our destiny, our eternal destiny. Yes. And it's all because of this child being born. Yes. If Jesus Christ would not have been born, there would not be peace. Now, one day, Jesus is going to bring peace to this earth. He is the Prince of Peace. He's going to rule and reign. But right now, this world has no peace. And I mean, they can go to the sign the peace treaties, and they can go and talk at Camp David, and they can go and talk all the, do all the things they want to do, but there'll be no peace on this earth till Jesus rules and reigns. But the Bible says he wants to bring peace. So how in the world? Well, Jesus hadn't accomplished it yet. Well, what kind of peace was he talking about? Was he talking about peace between men where there wasn't war? Or was he talking about peace between us and God? See, the Bible says that we're children of darkness. The Bible says we're children of right, of darkness. We're children of the wrong. We're children of the evil. Our father's the devil when we're not saved. Amen. We're children of darkness, children of disobedience, what I was trying to say. Children of disobedience. And we're without God, without hope in the world. We're dead in trespasses and sin. No life within us. No hope. No peace. No future. But because of Christmas, because of Christ, you and I can have hope. You and I can have peace that passes all understanding. We can have peace within. The Bible said the love of God that's shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, that love of God lives within us. Because of the love of God, guess what? We have peace. Because of the love of God, I can have peace for my brethren. The Bible says we'll be tenderhearted, loving one another, forgiving one another for Christ's sake. Amen. We should be able to have peace in our hearts. Peace between one another. Oh, he came to bring peace. That's peace between us and God. And that's being that what God would have us to be. This morning I wonder, do you have the spirit of Christmas? Do you have faith? Do you have joy? Do you have peace knowing that things between you and God are biblically right? Are biblically right. I remember a man coming and working on our furnace when me and Deborah first got married. We had what they called in a mobile home, they called it a shotgun furnace. I never knew what that meant to blow it up one night. Boom! No, I'm just joking. But shotgun furnace. And he came to work on it, and I was trying to witness to him. And he looked at me, and he said, he was much older than I was. I mean, I'm just in my, at that time, I was just in my mid-20s. And he said, son, he said, me and the old man upstairs got it all worked out. Well, I knew right then whatever he had worked out wasn't too good. Because if you're talking about God, about your eternity, and you want to call him the old man upstairs, something's wrong with your relationship. And that's what he said. He said, you don't need to talk to me. He said, me and the old man upstairs got it. We're all worked out. So I'm saying, if you got peace with God a biblical way, there's some people in the world today, they're trying their best to work their way to heaven. And they get up this morning, they hope they do enough deeds today. There's no telling how many times we go and knock on people's doors and talk to them about the Lord. You'll say, are you going to go to heaven? I hope so. Well, you know, you can know so. Well, I'm doing my very best. You know, I'm not like a lot of people. I'm not cheating on my wife, and I'm not stealing, and I'm not, you know, I don't cuss, and I don't do this. But that ain't what I asked you. Are you biblically right with God? Not what are you doing, but have you accepted what he's did? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is there evidence that Jesus lives within you? Do you really have the spirit of Christmas? Faith? Joy? Is there joy in serving Jesus? Is there joy in knowing him as your Savior? Is there joy? I mean, this morning, I can't say every Sunday morning I'm excited as I was this morning about coming to church. You said, preacher, you're supposed to be excited every Sunday morning. Oh, no, I'm just like you. But I was excited about coming to church this morning. Why? Not because I get to preach. I get to preach a lot of Sunday morning. Not because you was going to be here. You're all them Sunday mornings, you're here. But there was something special about this day. We were celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there joy in your heart to come and worship him this morning? Or what's robbed that joy? What's the Bible said, Paul told them there in Galatians, he said, you did run well. What hindereth you? It could be some of you here, something's hindering you to enjoy Christmas like you could. You're just not right with God. Your heart's not right. It's not right where it should be. Not that you're lost, it's just not right where it should be. Let God speak to your heart. There ought to be a joy in our heart, knowing that Jesus lives. He's my Savior. There ought to be a joy telling others. We get to share the greatest story ever told. There ought to be peace in knowing if we leave this world, we got another world to go to. No doubts. No wonders. But the peace between us and God has been made. God has made peace. We've been justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then I should have the peace of God as we're standing, our heads are bowed. How we need these things in our life. Let's be honest this morning. Do we have the peace of God, or are we often lacking the peace of God? Are we restless, uptight, bent out of shape about the things that's going on around us, or are we trusting Jesus with our destiny, with our life? If we'll just get our focus on Jesus instead of focus on this world, if we'll focus on Him and His power instead of us and our problems. Are you reading your Bible and are you praying? Maybe that's why you don't have peace. How's your walk with God? How's your relationship with Him? Some of us don't have joy and peace because we're not committed to God. We're not committed to His work. The Bible says, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Are you taking your burdens? Are you taking your cares to Him? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. To have the true meaning of Christmas, you must have peace. That's what He came to bring. He came that sinners could have peace, knowing their sins have been paid for. The sin debt's gone. They're not guilty before God anymore. They're fit subjects to be in the presence of God. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you have the Spirit of Christmas living in you? Some's come to pray. Our heads are bowed. Brother Mike's going to sing if you need to come. Others are coming.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank You now for this special day that we've had today. We appreciative of a good church family to be able to come and worship with. Lord, as we think upon You, help us to realize that even though we're celebrating Your birth today, that there's no longer a baby in a manger. And even though we have a Savior, there's no longer a dying Savior on the cross. And Lord, we realize from the Word of God that You tasted death for every man, but You didn't stay dead. And God, we're glad that we have a living Savior this morning. I pray that You'd bless each one, speak peace to each heart, supply all the needs that are present. Encourage Your people. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.